Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Councillor Liam Quaid, good to speak with you again. We've been in touch with you regularly since this story broke during the summer. What is the situation with regard to an independent structural engineer? Because to the layperson, Liam, it's a little confusing.
Yep, so back in October 8, a family member of a resident of the Ona Cora Centre wrote to Michael Fitzgerald, the chief officer of the HSE, asking if they wrote on behalf of three families, including their own, asking if they could appoint an independent structural engineer to assess the feasibility of renovations on the Ona Cora Centre. And the reason for this was that we had been told by the HSE's own maintenance department that it was basically impossible to carry out necessary works on the premises. Mm. And that claim was made in two internal reports from 2021, one of which was undated. So it wasn't clear, actually, from these reports what new building survey, if any, had been carried out to arrive at this very drastic conclusion.
To quote what the HSE said to us in two separate statements across summer and autumn, they said that they had discovered the problems with Ona Cora were worse than they feared and that it was beyond, effectively beyond saving. The request was to have that independently assessed.
Yeah, because prior to those claims being made by the HSE's own maintenance department, there had been separate independent reports carried out in the previous years, and these looked at works on improving fire safety and removing asbestos and some other works. And these reports set out the works that needed to be done. They didn't claim that the works were impossible to carry out. And this, I suppose, left us with quite a bit of uncertainty about the whole issue. So during the Oireachtas Mental Health Committee meeting that we had on September 21st, when HSE management were questioned by a group of TDs and senators, Green Party TD Nasa Horrigan questioned Michael Fitzgerald, the chief officer, about this, and he couldn't answer her. You know, what new building survey has arrived at that conclusion? She also asked him several other questions about the premises that he couldn't answer, and he committed to following those up with her after the meeting. NASA's assistant reminded the HSE of the need to follow these up, and she received no answers to these questions.
And for the purpose of reminding listeners, Deputy Horrigan is also an architect.
That's right. So I suppose she was able to come at this from a more informed perspective than the rest of us. So considerable efforts had to be made to obtain further information, including quotations and drawings for renovations of Ona Cora, which kind of strangely had been excluded from previous building reports sent to us. NASA was told many weeks after requesting these reports, reports on St. Stephen's Hospital, because she wanted to compare her facilities. She was told that finding all of these reports was too onerous a task, so she ended up having to refer those requests to the Public Accounts Committee. But I think something that has really struck many people is that the request for a structural engineer that was put in on October 8 by a family member was not actually responded to until 5 weeks later. And this, in my view, is part of a broader pattern of running down the clock on the closure process, and wearing down the resolve of families who are trying to resist the closure.
Yeah. Liam, what was the nature of the response received?
The response essentially said that due to the particular service needs of the residents, that an independent structural engineer wouldn't be able to properly assess what was needed to be carried out. And like, this is an absurd absurd statement. And I think the broader pattern that it fits into is timing the closure announcement just before the Dáil went into an 8-week summer break. So there was very limited opportunity for a very long period there to scrutinise the decision. There's been a withholding of key information that was requested by public reps about the closure rationale, and that's not just Vanessa Horrigan who experienced that, but Sinn Féin councillor Danielle Toomey. And what Danielle followed up was very pertinent, because one of the answers we got back to a parliamentary question gave a reason for not pursuing renovations was that they would have great difficulty enlarging the size of single bedrooms. But then...
And making them en suite, I think, was also a problem.
Exactly, making them en suite. But we know that in several of the alternative facilities... not only are single rooms quite rare, but they're, like, for instance, in St. Stephen's Hospital, there's a ward that has two rooms in which there are six residents in each room.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a huge change in terms of privacy and personal space.
Yeah.
And fair enough, if you have difficulties improving the size of rooms in Onacora, but what are we comparing it to? And if you're talking about facilities that will involve a much reduced quality of life in many ways, it really kind of debunks the whole argument.
Yeah. Now, the original closure date was the end of October. That has come and gone. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong here, nobody's been moved out yet. Everybody's still there.
My understanding is that one resident has moved. As far as I'm aware, there are 18 residents still there.
Right.
And I think what really needs to be emphasised is that hasn't been any source of relief for families, because that has only come about because management have been struggling to source placements because they're under such scrutiny now.
Yeah.
And what it has actually done is it's plunged families into a much more distressing state of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Because for if any of us were to hear that we were about to lose our homes at some point, you know, and if we had a fixed point, say you're going to have to move out of your long-standing home in 3 or 6 months, that would be devastating. But if you're told you're going to have to move out, and they've doubled down on the closure decision, but you're then left in this prolonged limbo as to when that might happen. And if you add in the fact that these are people who have struggled for most of their lives with very severe mental health difficulties.
Yeah. To put it very bluntly, you're not helping them.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, something that I've been trying to impress upon people in government, and something that I've been, a message that I've been trying to put out in recent weeks, is that the community here in East Cork, and this was expressed very strongly at our public protest some weeks ago, feel really abandoned by government, and feel that government haven't shown any moral authority in intervening here. There's been so many unanswered questions about this closure. Families have and public reps have been misled throughout the summer with repeated briefings, and these were briefings that were given to yourselves as well, talking about extensive consultation that was happening with families, and we know that wasn't happening.
Okay. Liam, I'll leave it there for now, and I'll go to speak with Mary, and we'll talk again. Thank you.
Thanks, PJ.
Mary, you were one of the family members who wrote looking for this independent survey to be done, and you weren't happy at all with the response you got.
Well, we got a response after 5 weeks of waiting in the first instance to say basically that the HSC management were not agreeable to appointing someone. They made comments like they had a specialist knowledge and no one else would be able to offer the same level of assessment. So I thought a lot about that, actually, and I find it almost brings a smile of despair to my face, actually, that if they had this level of skill, how do we find ourselves in this situation in the first instance with all this expertise and knowledge and insight and skill that we find that the building is not fit for purpose? This isn't something that's just happened in the last year or two. This is a symptom of significant neglect over many years, and we find ourselves, the residents find themselves being made homeless because of this. So I think to say that they don't want anyone else to look at it now is almost, you know, laughable, really. I don't know what they're afraid of.
Liam Quaid, who I've just spoken to, he himself, of course, is a psychologist, and he said one of the really important things dealing with people with mental health issues is certainty, that you have to be able to give them some level of certainty. Now, the closure date, the original closure date, has come and gone, and it's fair to say, I think, Mary, nobody has a clue now what's happening.
That's correct. And we're living in this heightened state of anxiety, actually. It's worse now because we don't know what's in the mind of the HSE. Are they just going to come along and disperse residents? We haven't had any recent communication from anybody apart from the letter just rejecting our request for the structural engineer to be appointed. So we just don't know what is in their mind. We do know that there is a national housing crisis. So looking for accommodation in Middleton as an interim measure, you know, if they were to even try and rebuild or refurbish, even that is going to be a challenge. But we've had no conversation, anything at all, anything about how to go forward. So we're really between a rock and a hard place with this. We just find ourselves really stressed and just not knowing where to turn. And we actually need our politicians to come out publicly about this. They're working behind the scenes, and I believe they are. They're doing their best. But there's something about all of this kind of secrecy and this way of doing things behind the scenes that really is undermining our confidence about the HSE, and indeed, you know, the political system, that we're just left in these kind of vacuums, and it's really, really, really difficult.
You were with me a while back, Mary, when I had the privilege of meeting a number of the residents down there one evening, and I found a level of distress down there talking to these people that cannot have got any easier, and I'm sure it must be getting worse.
I think it is, PJ, because we're almost afraid to mention it at this stage, you know, what is happening, because it opens up another level of anxiety for people. So it's almost the elephant in the room, you know, when we do our visits or when we go out and about. And occasionally I'd say, look, you know, did you hear anything this week? And if there's no answer to that, we don't even try to have a conversation because it is so unsettling.
And in terms of your own relation, who is a resident there, how are they feeling?
Very, very, very unsettled, really unsettled about it. And some of the residents have moved already, and that has been really upsetting for her. And these are people she's known for years and years, and trying to maintain, you know, phone contact or even, you know, contact even now, you can't even imagine just how difficult that is. It's just really... It's just from September, from last September to now, it's just been such a horrible time for her and for her fellow residents.
Mary, thank you as always for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Cork's 96 FM.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.